that it was my text, on which he desired to prop up the fatigue. He talks about it, fatigue, in an almost desperate tone. Everyone will have heard it quite well. The fatigue caused by...
She started reading the flying manuscript and didn't stop until 9:30.
It was the first time that you sent me an envelope not to be opened so long as and until. That it was indeed the first time, I was not sure. I might have thought it was the only and the last. Comes back to me today that the same scene took place one other time. It was in May 2003. You were returning from a faraway trip. In front of you, the announcement of a trip without fixed harbor, without measure. You had written for a colloquium devoted to the archives I deposited at the National Library of France, which was supposed to take place at the end of that May, a text whose title you tell me. This time it is deposited into my hands that you send from a wholly other great distance, this text written from a very distant interior in a closed envelope, not to be opened, except and unless. I promised. More than once you call me and you say, you didn't open it at least. This scene depicts us. I swear to you, I haven't touched it. Oh, if only I could believe you. It's not that he doesn't trust me. It is in believing that he has difficulty believing. This time, it seemed to me I could guess the reasons for which I was not to open this text in his absence. How is it going to be possible to translate this sentence? You worry about the translators, on the one hand. On the other, you take great pleasure in dribbling around translation. That's why you keep watch on the little football player in you. I didn't open the envelope. How would I have opened it? With a knife, you will say to me, in your equivocal guise. My mother comes into the study with a large kitchen knife in her hand. It is for veils. Why do you say that you're not visible, I say? Because we're not seeing a lot of each other here. Maybe you are the one who is not visible. Maman, I say, you're inspired, she smiles. She cuts the book, she smiles. I love it that you're here, like the cats. I look at her. I look at her visibility for a long time. Two different visibilities, you say. I see what you mean, yes. Two different visibilities and two different non-visibilities. Someday I will talk about your present visibility, the one to which I'm applying myself and at which I'm employed au-dedans de moi, as you say in Bélier, in that inner forum, fort intérieur, that never closes, as you say, and where you are, as always, at once the strongest, that is, the most fort, the most fort, and the most da. Au-dedans d'eux is an expression of yours. As for me, I usually use en moi to say within me. You are the one who is right. Au-dedans is more interior and more sheltering than en. She has finished, my mother. I will try to read it a little, this book, says my mother. She gets up, the knife. Me with this butcher knife, it gives me the willies. This butcher knife, I say to myself, in order to cut veils, I'll tell you about it. When you gave me the not-to-be-opened envelope before the National Library colloquium, I did not remember the first envelope. The second coming back of the manuscript took place a few days later, when I arrived in April 2005 at my writing house, where I went on your order as given in 2003. If I can't go to Barcelona, it will be necessary to go all the same. Absolute order and without commentary. Order without authority. For months, I'd been thinking about it like a poor beast being led to the impossible. I have no tricks in me, only anguished submission. I can describe, in broad strokes, my interior state concerning this ordeal. There's anguish that swirls and whirls and will never end, neither in my life nor with my death, in my opinion. Concerning the pour, the four, your famous double-doored pour, four, the one that offers and the one that takes back and substitutes. Instead of spreading out the load, the weight, as hoped, here I am summoned by fate to keep the word for your apparent silence or the appearance of your silence, having to keep impossibly account of the different kinds of absence, presence, the presence of absence, knowing full well that there is no absolute absence, only presences made of different stuff with different thicknesses, solidities, endurance, stability, tangibility. How not to betray? Oh, translate you, the depth of my anguish. I know that you hear me and that you're unhappily unhappy. And if I know such an apparently mysterious thing, it is not because I'm a mystic or inspired, which I am, but that would not suffice, as my mother says, inspired. But it's because I know you a little, and that having never seen suffering for the other, his and her whole life, you continue. Don't be sad. The next phone that rings, I kill it. I mean, magically, of course. Don't be sad. These are words you addressed to all those whom you love so seriously and so often. You too, don't be sad. Cruel, saddening sadness, which saddles every feeling of tenderness. Don't be sad, you say. That's just like you. How not to obey you? I mean, not to disobey you. But you, when I say to you, forget, you point out that this cannot happen on command. Don't forget, you say to me, you are in command. Thereupon we argue over the you, the who, the how of the command. We co-mandate one another. Words, words. We observe their motives, their movement. They never still. They never die. Mystique. The word mystique takes hold of him. For example, one day in 1989, a certain use of the word mystical, in whose vicinity, nosing around, he meets up with Pascal Montaigne. Mystical, this is authority, the foundation of authority. No reason can be given, that's the way it is. This word mystical, now he's pleased, Jacques Derrida, when he plays with this word. What does it mean? What will one say of this play, philosophically? A playful vein, played out in words, circulates through all his philosophy. Philosophy always in translation. Two words regarding words. Words between us, often German words. Les bons moments, in his philosophical work, are always word moments. The bad words can also be good, but there is an interdiction on evil words. One must evoke them from a distance and beware pronouncing them. There are words of power, magic words, passwords. There are bon mots, there are the two words. I'm going to have to write the book of words another year. There will be a chapter on the word porter, porter in French, and a chapter on the word porter, to carry, to bear, in German, tragen. Tragen is a preferred word. He takes it from Heidegger's ear. The extraordinary play that he, Heidegger, practices on the word tragen. Derrida's ecstasy, ausgetragenes Kind. To bear and to bring into the world, to carry the voice of the friend in oneself, bei sich tragen. To bear something within that is not self, that is different. This is me with him. But as for him, Proteus Derrida, He bears in him something that is the one who is his antagonist, himself his adversary, his other, his double-double, at once prophet and persecutor. Porter des mots, prôter des mots, the import of words, Proteus of words, 20 times. He adds them up and tells me the story of Tragen in 1988, in 1995, one cannot imagine the ancientness and the import of certain words. The word möglich, for example, its secret powers. How not to obey you if I can? Can I? Might I? I'm inhabited by the enormous force of the Unmöglichkeit. This is the word that comes to me. I bless it. It is one of the words around which we have sojourned. I'll come back to it later. I hear Omi, my German grandmother, crying out often, "Das ist ja unmöglich!" How to communicate to you the accents, the exclamativity, the tonicity of the language and the body in German, the idiomaticity, the supplement of ja, the hammering of the un, the sigh. I communicate it to you over the telephone. I imitate Omi. I sound out for you all the marvelous and German reserves, merely in the semantic family of mögen. You, with your super philosophical ear, your philosophical nose, your taste, your Sophic refinement, you have guessed with all your senses, 8, 10 more, by reading Heidegger, Eckhart, or Angelus Silesius, that this mögen has unheard of resources, inaudible in translation. You dig, you drill, you raise the stakes, you call me. How would you translate mögen, vermögen? I switch into German. Ich möchte gern, I rediscover it while slipping you these so very subtle connotations that cause to melt into one another the verbs to want, to will, to be able to savor, that mix and only on the German tongue the taste of self and the taste of the object. I would like to know how far you're going to be able to go further in French. Mögen, that's to want to or to will and to be able to have the power, vouloir et pouvoir. What do you want to know, says my mother, my German mother. It is difficult to translate. It is to be able to do something one wants to do, but that one is not sure of being able to do. I would really like to be able to translate mögen. My sister and I, wir könnten ausgehen, aber wir mögen's nicht, says my mother. There is always an uncertainty with Eri, my sister, always. Schmack das nicht, says Eri, says my mother. Something that you eat, it means you don't like it. That's Eri. I don't like this, I don't like that. Ich möge das gern. That means we like that. Wir mögen's nicht. It's not to our liking. Das ist unmöglich. It's impossible. It's not at all possible 100%. Das ist möglich. It's possible. Not 100% out of 100. Where is the willing or wanting in Unmöglichkeit? Unmöglich, there's nothing to be done. Ganz unmöglich, it's utterly impossible. Möglich, it seems possible. And vermögen, the verb, it means that I want nearly. I could, but it's not obligatory. There is a possibility, says my mother. Das Vermögen, that's possession, when you have money, das kostet ein Vermögen. It's going to cost a fortune, says my mother. Es ist ja unmöglich, so it's impossible. It's a word that allows several possibilities, you see. Es könnte möglich sein, ne? Could be possible, huh? You need this word? Not me, Jacques Derrida. Tell him it's not possible. Das Wort ist wirklich unmöglich. Ich vermöge das Rezept zu machen, ob möchte oder nicht. It's really an elastic word, says my mother, overwhelmed. Ich mag nicht. It's not to my liking. This mögen enchants him.
Listening to the different conversations after, everyone there took away something different.
Here it comes to the surface, used by Heidegger in the sense of to desire or love. What a delightful amazement. This letter on humanism, this thing, He had read it, I don't know how many times in the last 40 years, and it's the first time he notices what Heidegger's doing, and him too, with the word possible. He pulls it very far in that direction to desire, love.